So, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome back to church. Like Andy said, I so appreciate what he said. He goes, we're a different tribe. It's a different season. Things are different, but there are so many things that are still amazing and so good. And it was great today to worship, wasn't it? So I'm so grateful for these guys that lead us in worship, these men and women that come and they play their instruments and they help lead us in worship and doing the words in the back and the sound and all of these things and all the people that come together to make church happen. I'm so grateful for all of these people that do so many different things here at the church. And it just is great that when we are able to come together and worship together, there is just a powerful moment, a beautiful moment when we sing together in a corporate setting, right? That first song, yeah, amen, amen. That first song, just so you know, Danny wrote that. So it's pretty awesome that we're doing stuff that our own worship leaders are creating and writing, and we're continuing to put forth new stuff like that on a regular basis. So we're very excited for what our worship leaders are doing. In all of this, I want to say that if you have been following us online, you'll remember that we have been going through a series called Spiritual Disciplines. I want to put a pin in that, all right? We're not going to talk about spiritual disciplines today. We're going to get back into that next week. But I wanted to just take a moment to say that if you have not been following along with the spiritual disciplines conversation, you can still look at that stuff and still check it out online. You can go to YouTube or Facebook Live and you can gather those things. So just want to encourage you with that and to look at that stuff. So you can do that. And catch up on that stuff. So anyway, that's that. So let's go on. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted there. So here's the thing, though. I want to put a pin in it, and I want to talk to you guys about something different today that the Lord has put on my heart. All right? Something that God has been sharing with me over the last few months, and He has been revealing something very precious and awesome to me, and I know that this is something that you need to understand and know and recognize and just grow in as well today. Okay? And that is understanding the Father's heart for you. Or at least one of the aspects of the Father's heart for you. And I want to just share with you some stories today that Jesus talks about in the book of Luke. Luke 15. If you did bring your Bibles today, I want to just invite you to open it up to Luke 15. And we're going to have some conversations about some stories in this chapter of the Bible. So Jesus is talking to some Pharisees. And these guys, these Pharisees, these teachers, rulers of the law, They're pretty ticked off at Jesus because he hangs out with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, people of ill repute, as it were. And these Pharisees are going, man, this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing this because in Jewish tradition and Jewish law, if you were surrounded by sinners or people that were considered unclean, you could, through just being too close, contagiously catch what they had. No matter how many masks or sanitizer you would wear, you would, if you were in the presence of sinners, you would get their sin on you, and you would have to go through a ceremonial cleansing of sorts to get the sin off. So these Pharisees were like, hey, we don't like Jesus that you're hanging out here doing this stuff, being with sinners. We don't think it's right. You need to start backing off from this kind of lifestyle that you're living. And he shares a story. He shares actually three stories in Luke 15. He first shares this story, you may be familiar with this, of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. One goes away. The shepherd goes after the one, leaving the 99 behind, and he finds that sheep, and he comes home, and he says, I have found the one, talking to his other buddies. Let's celebrate. Then there's a woman who has 10 coins. She loses one of her coins. She loses some of her money, and she goes through her entire house looking for this coin that she's lost, throwing everything up, just removing everything, getting everything out until she finds that coin. And when she finds it, she gathers her friends together, and she goes, let's go get a coffee together and celebrate because what was lost is now found. It's time to celebrate. You catching something in here? There's a theme. In the third story that Jesus talks about, and this is the main one I want to focus on today, it's the story of the prodigal son. Now, many of you are familiar with this story. Many of you are familiar with the son, the one bad kid, what you'd consider to be the bad kid, the disobedient, rebellious kid who said to his dad, "Dad, you're dead to me. I want you to give me my lands, my title, my money now, my inheritance now. I'm not going to wait for it until you actually do die. I want it now." So the dad gives it to him. He divides up the lands, as it says in the scripture, and we'll get to that in just a second. And then as soon as he divides it up, the son takes off, and he goes, as scripture says, he goes and spends his money on wild living. Now, that doesn't share with you what exactly that is, other than it is, other translations talk about it being extravagant living. All right? So he goes and he does that, and he takes off. Well, there's a famine in the land, Jesus tells the story, and during that famine, the guy loses all of his money, and so he starts working for this pig farmer. And as he's working for the pig farmer, in Jewish tradition, you guys, you know that pigs are not a kosher animal. This is not an animal that is considered clean, and therefore, because it is an unclean animal, the fact that this guy, this son, is working as a feeder of pigs is really, really degrading. It's the lowest of the low, and he is starving. He is not having any food, and here he is desiring to eat the pods that they're feeding the pigs. These things have no nutrients whatsoever, but he is hungry. And then he has an idea. Hey, I can go back to my dad. His servants live better than this. This is a great opportunity. I'll simply just go back and say to my dad, "Hey, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So would you just let me be a servant?" That's it. That's what I'm going to do. So he packs up his remaining belongings, and barefoot, he goes back to his dad. And it says in the story that from a far-off distance, the dad sees his son and runs to him, embracing him, kisses all over. Ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma. That's for the kids. All right? Kids, do you guys have an aunt or an uncle that like to just give hugs or big hugs and, you know, or like pinch your cheek and, you know, do that stuff? Kids, any of you guys have aunts or grandmas like that? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I do too. I used to have a grandma that did that. It was like, "Get off of me, grandma." But here's the thing. The dad goes to the son and embraces him. Does not walk up to him and go, "About time you got home. I knew you'd fail it, you loser." He doesn't say that. And the son goes up to the dad, and recognizing the grace of his father, he says to his dad, the whole speech that he had prepared, all he can get out is, "I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." And as soon as he finishes that, the dad goes, "Hey, put a robe around him, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, let's kill the fatted calf, let's celebrate. For my son who was dead is now alive, let's celebrate." Now the story doesn't end there, but it goes on and it talks about this second son, this older son. The older son hears from a servant that there's a party going on. Well, he heard about the party, and then the servant, he calls the servant over and he says, "Hey, what's going on?" "Well, didn't you hear? Your brother's home." "What?" "Yeah, your brother's home. Your dad killed the fatted calf, and they're celebrating in the room." "Well, no one's ever done that for me before." So the father, the son is so angry, he won't go in. The dad comes out to the son, the older son, and says, "Come on in. Let's celebrate." And the son is so mad. He's like, "I'm not going in there. You've never done this for me. What are you doing to your loser son who took your money and go spend it on prostitutes? What's the deal? And you've never given me even a goat to party with my friends. I'm so ticked off, whatever, I'm not even going in there." And the dad goes, "We're celebrating today because your brother, who was dead, is now alive. He was lost, But now he's found. And the chapter ends on that, just hanging there. The plot line just kind of rests right there in the story. And I looked at these three stories, and there's two things. There's one, every one of them had a party. Everyone had a celebration. Man, what was lost was found. Notice kind of some geek out Bible stuff for you guys. The first story, it was 1/100th, right? Where it was 1/100th the or 1%. I'm sorry, my math is weird, but yeah, it was 1/100th of the ratio, right? One lamb out of, or one sheep out of 100. The second one was 1/10th, and the third one was 1/2. Every single one of these got more and more precious. But each one had a celebration. What Jesus was showing the Pharisees was that God is bigger than the law that he had established, and that his love was larger. Yeah, there was a celebration attached, and that, I think, was kind of the hook to get the Pharisees in on the conversation. But Jesus was wanting to show these Pharisees about the heart of the Father. And I just want to look at this for a second, because I want you to understand something, that when Jesus is talking about these stories, we can understand and read them as he is talking to us about these stories, and he is sharing them to us, and he's saying, can you find yourself in the story? Can you relate to the story? And so I want you to ask yourself today, where are you in the story? You could be one of the prodigal sons running. You could be in a place of coming back. You might be one of the older sons, angry with the sinners and frustrated. But I want you to hear something today. And this is something that Jesus is talking about in all of these stories. He's talking about his Father and a Father heart. And that in each one of these stories, there is a searching. The one who had lost something was searching. Do you know today that God is searching for you? He's looking for you. And Jesus talks about this, going after the lost sheep. Next, he says, going after a lost coin. And finally, Jesus talks about going after a lost heart. How do we look at these, and how do we respond to these different people? I want you to think about things from two questions today. One is, how do we treat our Heavenly Father? And the second one is, how does our Heavenly Father treat us? And I want to just look at this for a second from this last story of the prodigal son. How do we treat our Heavenly Father? The first way is that we will ask and say, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And it's from both brothers, right? Give me. Why won't you give me? I want what's coming to me. You're dead to me. I want what's mine. I want what's owed to me. Give me, give me, give me. Oftentimes we come to God only when we want something from him. Right? In Luke 15:12, the first part of it says, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. He's saying, I really don't care about you anymore, Dad. I don't care about this land. I don't care about this. All I want is the money. And we need to examine our hearts, because where might we be in this situation? Are we in a situation in our lives where we're like, you know, this is all I want from God, is what he can give me. What I'm owed. I just want God to pour out his blessing and do that. That's all that I want. I don't want relationship. I don't want any of the what I feel are burdens or things that could weigh me down, or rules or regulations. I just want him to pour his blessing on me so that I can do whatever I want, live however I want. I just want. How would a relationship work if one person just came around when they wanted something? You know, come up to your spouse, and, you know, guys, you go up to your wife and go, hey, how about, you know, we, you know, have coffee. And then after coffee is done, you go, thanks, I'm going to leave now. And then the next time you want coffee, you go to your spouse and ask for coffee, and then once coffee's over, you leave. What kind of relationship is that? Is there any relationship with that? How about moms and dads? If your kids only came up to you and said, hey, can I have a 20? And as soon as they took that money, they said, thanks, I'm out, see ya. And then they come back to you and say, hey, you got 20 bucks on you? Yeah, here you go. Thanks, we'll see ya. Is there any kind of relationship? No. And the Father, his desire throughout this entire thing, you guys, is that you would just simply be on the porch with him, be in the house with him. Another way, so how do we treat our Heavenly Father? We say, give me. Another thing is that we say, forgive me. Now, this is an interesting part of this story, because when I say forgive me, that sounds good. And it is good. We need to go to the Father, and we need to place our request. The give me is, it's okay, but understand the heart behind the story of what these guys were doing, and the heart behind the first forgive, the heart behind the first plotting and planning that the son was thinking, was not necessarily to get the father's forgiveness, but it was to change his situation. You hear that? It wasn't to get into relationship with the father. He was looking for forgiveness to change his situation. If I can just, I'll say this, you know, I've sinned against heaven, against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants, right? It says, I am no longer, please take me on as a hired servant in Luke 15:19. Do we ever use God's forgiveness as a tool to maneuver ourselves into a better position? Have you ever heard of the idea of when we ask the Lord into our hearts, that it's for fire insurance? To just keep us out of hell? Sadly, many of us may think that. I know I've had conversations with individuals that are going, hey man, at least I'm saved through grace and I can do whatever I want now because I've got my fire insurance, I am taken care of, so I can do whatever I want to do. I'm good, I'm golden. What kind of relationship is that? Right? Thanks for the 20, Dad, I'm out. The youngest son is sorry. He is. He is sorry. He's sorry that he got himself into the situation that he finds himself in now, right? He's sorry because he realizes that what a mess he has gotten himself into. And I love what this commentary says, and so I just want to read it to you verbatim. It's Arthur Just is the commentator, and he writes this: by asking to be a hired worker, the prodigal seeks a number of advantages. He is able to be back with the family even though he is not yet restored to the family. He is making money and may begin to pay back the debt he owes the father in squandering his share of the estate. He won't have to live off of his elder brother's estate, but will be making his own way. And he maintains a certain amount of freedom that will allow him a certain amount of dignity and status with respect to his father and his brother. The downside of this plan is that he must live in a community that would consider him an outcast. He would be a pariah. But this is the chance that he will take to extricate himself from his situation that he finds himself in, sleeping amongst the pigs, having to feed the pigs, not being in a kosher situation, right? The prodigal is repenting, but with certain conditions. Do we in our hearts have conditions to our forgiveness? God, I want to be forgiven, but I want to live my way. Finally, the other way that we treat the Heavenly Father is like the older brother. It's not fair. Why do they get stuff and I don't? Why are they forgiven and I feel like I'm being judged? Why is it that I have to continue to work hard and do all of this stuff and I am living hard, I am living my life for you, I am doing all of this stuff? Religion, 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 religion. There is not a place of relationship here, but it is all about the stuff that you do and the judgment that you are placing on others. In Luke 15:29, The older son replies, "All these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. It's not fair, Daddy. I want what's mine. What about me? I want to be in a better situation." You see, this was a big thing with the Pharisees. In Roman times, everybody was, I think like today, everybody is struggling for their little piece of the pie of power. And the Romans had the ultimate power politically, and yet they were still struggling to find power in Jerusalem. Pilate had power, and Rome had power. Herod had political power. And here are these Pharisees in the temple wanting to have some sort of control of things, and they find that they have religious power. And when Jesus comes onto the scene and starts talking about this forgiveness and starts talking about this transformation and this reinterpretation of what the law is standing for and God's heart behind the law, they're going, no. You're taking away our authority. You are removing our power, and this is not good. This is not fair. What about me, Jesus? So we can be selfish like that, and we can treat God that way. We can treat him as a genie in a bottle. We can ask for forgiveness with conditions, or we can just go to him and say, it's not fair. Some of these things, like I said, we can do, and it's okay, but what's the heart behind it? I want you to check your heart, but I also want you to hear today, this is how your Heavenly Father sees you, and this is how your Heavenly Father treats you. Even though you do these things, even though we go about and walk out these things with a crazy heart sometimes, God still sees us and does this for us, all right? He says this to us. This is how he treats you. He treats you with love. He says, I love you. Notice this in the second part of 15:12. He says, I love you, so I'll let you go. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. Divides the wealth. I love you, so I'll let you go. Now, interesting. If the younger son says, Dad, you're dead to me. I want your inheritance. And he goes, okay. Here you go. The older son could have honored the dad and said, no, father, you are not dead yet. Therefore, I have no need for your inheritance. But yet the older son, it says he divided it among his sons. So the older son went, sweet, I'll take it. Cool. There's no relationship. There's no relationship. So he says, I love you, so I'll let you go. The second thing is God says, I love you, so I'll let you stay in the field. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. You see, God told the older son, this is all yours. This is all yours. You're free to walk in this. You're free to enjoy the spoils of this land. But you are walking in it and living in it as if you were a servant, following the law, doing what was required to make sure that the property could maintain a profit. But the father was like, I just want you in my house. I want you to be with me. But I love you, so I'll let you stay in the field. And then finally, I love this, at the end of the story, we know that the prodigal comes back, and from a far off distance, the dad sees his son, so he runs up to him. So the father, in his heart, he treats us with this way. He says, I love you so much that I won't keep you out there. I love you, so I'll let you come back. This is grace. This is grace. Giving us something that we don't deserve. The son said that you are dead to me, Dad, and yet when he walks down the path, the dad, with reckless love, comes bounding after the son, tackling him. I can just see this picture, and if you can close your eyes and visualize this, the dad is just undignified, running down the path. All the people in town are looking at him, and he is just like, "Woo! Yeah!" I don't know what the son's name was. "Yeah, Billy! Woo!" You know, and he comes running after him. Boom! Tackles the son. Lifts him up. I mean, I just see this big, rotund father, you know, big curly beard, picking his son up and just kissing him all over, going, "I love you." And the son recognizing in this moment, oh, we'll get to that. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead because I love this. 15:20, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. God wants you in his house. God wants you in his house. Does he like you in the field? Yeah. When it's time to work. But he also wants you in this house for relationship. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be a part of your life. Not just a vending machine or a genie. But he wants to be in relationship with you. God wants you with him. It says in Luke 15:32 at the end, it says, we had to celebrate this happy day. We had to. We had to. Do you understand this? That word "had" is so big in this moment. There's no way we couldn't do this. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now is found. God wants to celebrate your return. And it's not just the prodigal that he wants to celebrate with. He wants the son who is the older son, who is crossing his arms saying, "It's not fair. I'm going to go back into the field and hang out with my friends." No, he even wants that son to celebrate with him. He wants to celebrate with his kids, plural. Where are you at today? As many of you know in this room, as we talk about the prodigal son, you too were dead and are now alive in Christ, right? Many of you recognize that. Many of you have prayed a prayer, asked the Lord into your life, have started that relationship with him, or maybe today it can be the beginning of that relationship. But we can recognize from this moment that you have a father. Every one of you has a father that is pursuing you and is willing to do whatever it takes to get you back into the house for a party. I love it. I love it. So passionate is our Father's heart for you that he was willing to allow his son, Jesus, to come to earth, to die on a cross, to share with us this reality, this truth of who God is, who the Father is. And he was so willing and passionate to doing this that he sent his son Jesus, died on this cross, being the sacrifice for us, and 3 days later rose again. We now have opportunity to go back to the house and celebrate with our Father. And as you may know or may not know, I don't know, but John the Baptist, when he started his ministry, he shared this word. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is near. The kingdom of heaven is near." And then when Jesus came, he talked about this same word, repent. And I think a lot of times when we hear this word repent, it has kind of a negative connotation because, you know, the hellfire and brimstone type of preacher gets up there and he starts pounding on the podium and he goes, "Repent, everybody, for the," you know, all this stuff. But the thing is this, it's very simple. Repentance is recognizing that this one way of living is no longer profiting you as an individual. It's no longer a benefit. It's a health thing. I mean, nothing about this life is benefiting you at all. And when we look at the life of worldly living, and I'm not talking about, you know, the it's just living in the world. When we start to recognize that this doesn't cut it, this is not satisfying. And as many of you have done, you have repented of this, and you've walked towards the Father. You have run towards the Father. And I want the worship team to come up, or the musicians are playing. You run to the Father. You've turned from this stuff. You have said, I am no longer, there's the repentance. Boom. And you are going after the Father. You don't turn around and go back to that. You hearing this? You leave this alone. You leave it behind because you recognize this stuff, it's not cutting it for me anymore. It's no good. It falls short. It's unsatisfying. It's death. Jesus is life. The God is forever. I'm going after the Father. This is what I was jumping the gun with, and I didn't want to. I wanted to hold back, okay? And I'm sorry, if you're doing bingo, epic, amazing, awesome, okay, you can put all those words in there. But here's the thing. Here's what true repentance looks like, all right? Luke 15:21. This is after his dad has covered him with kisses and has met him on the road back to the house. Okay? Before the ring, before the robe, before the sandals, and before the fatted calf, the son says these words, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. He stops there. Why does he not go on with the practiced words that he was wanting to say? Because he recognized at that moment, I'm a son. I'm not a servant. I'm a child. I'm not a hired worker. I'm loved unconditionally. I don't have to come with an agenda. I can just come. I can experience love unconditionally. I don't have to worry. Grace. The Son recognized grace. May you today, if you're an oldest son in the field, slaving away, or a prodigal who is hanging out with pigs, or you're on the road back, may you recognize that the Father of all creation is running after you, wanting you to come home. So will you run to the Father? Will you fall in his arms? And will you allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to pick you up in his old big barrel-chested self of who you picture God to be as a loving, loving Father? And may he kiss you all over and say, welcome home. Let's go sit on the porch and have some iced tea. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we're back in church. I thank you that we are here to worship, that we are here to learn from your word, and that we are here to grow together as one body. May we turn from our old stuff and come to you. May we leave that behind. May we be willing to step into new life and new relationship with you. We love you, God. We praise you in your name. Amen. this song of worship. I want you to hear this today. You don't have to sing. If you know it, you can sing it. But I want you to take a moment and just be ministered to by the song.
I'll carry the burden for too long. Wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down. And I know that I need you. Run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a searching, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have the context for that kind of love. I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father. Yeah. you've heard that this morning. You know, there are really two prodigals in that story. There's the obvious one, the son who came back. But then there is the one that we don't really know what he decided to do. And like Mark said, where do you see yourself in this story? If there's something on your heart that you need to run back to the Father, really encourage you to do that this morning. Meet with one of us. We can pray with you. That's what we're here for. We're not here to sing to you. We're not here to make you feel good. We're here to grow. We're here to go closer and run to the Father together.
I want to thank you all for coming. I was thinking of a church sign. I saw this last week. It said, Jesus cleans our heart and we clean the chairs. Nobody? Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do in between services. So let me pray for us before we leave. And I just want to thank you guys all for coming here. And you can put your masks on as you walk out the door. Lord, I pray that you would clean our hearts. That God, we could present to you our true selves, our unclean selves, ready to be washed new, ready to have our minds changed about who you are, ready to have our minds changed about our experience in the kingdom of God. We submit this to you, and we invite you into that place. Lord, I pray you bless and protect these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to sign up at noon today.